Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, separativeness, part two. Before we begin, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature. And those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show. And the following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Clear thinking, a clear appraisal of causes, and a loving outgoing to all should distinguish all spiritual people at this time. Where this attitude doesn't exist, there is the danger of falling into the trap of hatred and separativeness. This spells danger and delusion. Can you begin with a few highlights from our previous discussion of this topic?
We discussed the nature of separativeness and pondered on the possible origins of it. The writings of Alice Bailey, which are the ageless wisdom teaching, say that the only true sin is separativeness. And that's really interesting to ponder on, because we can all probably think of a lot of things that we consider sinful, or if we're really liberated spirits, we might be the kinds of people that say there are no sins, there's just human nature being itself. But she says that the only true sin is separativeness. And the reasoning for that, I think, is that separativeness is the illusion, the mistaken belief that the individual stands separate from and apart from the rest of humanity. And when we start thinking like that, we are in trouble. Because then, out of that mistaken belief that we are apart from and separate from other people, we start to live our lives for our own personal agendas, and that leads to greed and selfishness and hatred sometimes, and certainly the desire to be one up on everybody else. It's the whole basis of the capitalist mentality, I suppose, to grab more of the pie for oneself than anybody else has. And in its most evil form, it leads to war and to ostracism of people who are different than you, and to racism and prejudice and intolerance and bigotry. So we discussed that and pondered on why it seems the present times seem to be really fostering this tendency to separativeness in people. If anything, it might be getting worse.
And yes, it could be getting worse, because separateness and separation is said to be the line of least resistance to people at this time. And I think it's this ability to discriminate. It's the factor of the faculty of the human mind to discriminate, and which is a good faculty to have, but it can carry one into deep water if it's allowed to create a sense of superiority, or us against them, or some kind of a separative attitude like that.
Maybe you need to define how the ageless wisdom views discrimination, because a lot of people might think that means prejudice.
No, discrimination is the ability to discern a different a difference, and might, and that is a necessary faculty to have, because in the early stages of our development, this is very necessary. But I think, and I think we've mentioned this before, there is this, the idea of differentiate, and which is different from separativeness. And it's the ability to differentiate, might differentiate colors, or the colors of the rainbow, or the colors of the clothing, or the differentiate ethnic groups, or male and female. This kind of discrimination isn't really a separative in nature. It is just simply the ability to discriminate right from wrong, and it helps us get through the world.
And it's also a quality that's absolutely vital to the spiritual path, because without spiritual discrimination, you can be led into all kinds of blind alleys and wrong spiritual practices. And we do see people that spend sometimes years, if not lifetimes, following so-called gurus and teachers who promise more than is realistic in terms of spiritual development, and who overpower the minds and spirits of their followers, and in a sense take custody of their little wills and manipulate them and indoctrinate them. And that's the nature of a cult, that you give up without realizing it your own free will. So discrimination in terms of spiritual values is very important, and learning to discriminate between the material values and truly spiritual values is a major development in human evolution. So we talked about separativeness being somewhat related to discrimination, as you say. It's part, I guess, of learning to be human. We see differences. We see differences of race, of religion, of language, of culture, of history, of experience, differences of mental ability, differences of all kinds of talents. We are not all alike on the outer level. And that's part of the beauty of the human family, that there are so many variations. And this great kaleidoscope is what enables humanity as a whole to be so varied and to create, whoever called it, the glorious mosaic of human expression. Part of, I suppose, multiculturalism today is a celebration of these differences, but sometimes I'm not so sure if it's such a good idea.
Well, the difference is, it's meant to be that way, because this is the way the human race is made up. It's, there are differences, and but it's when it steps over the line, it depends on the motive, too, of the person. Because separateness is an attitude of the little self, which has a tendency to make one superior over another, and to set one apart of being better or more so different that one becomes superior to the other. And then it becomes an object of glamour in itself, because it creates this false impression that the differences make a difference.
Differences make a difference. I think it lies at its base in the need to discover one's identity as a human being and as an individual. Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am."
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that I can think, to be aware, is what makes me aware of my distinctive being. And that stage of identity that isolates itself in a sense of individuality is what makes a human being aware of his separateness, of his uniqueness. And we are, in one sense, all unique. We are all individual and independent, but in a more spiritual sense, that uniqueness and independence vanish, because the great spiritual teachings say we are one. And that oneness is found on the level of the soul. And higher still of pure spirit. We originate from one creator or one cause, and we return to that creator or initiating cause. But on the outer level of life on earth, we have the independence of living within a physical body and in an emotional body that gives, and mental body that gives its own coloring. How we transform this sense of identity into a sense of the one humanity is, I think, the major leap on the spiritual path. That's what the teachings of the great masters and what meditation are meant to lead us to, a discovery that, yes, I am, and that realization that I am opens us into the discovery of the essential humanness that all of us share.
And that brings up the point that behind the evolutionary trend that is moving humanity along is this tendency towards synthesis, towards the ultimate synthesis. That is the ultimate goal in consciousness, is this developed this capacity to see and express the world and yourself in a with a sense of synthesis. And so any activity of separative nature, or any motives or any thoughts of a separative nature, work against this general trend of evolution. And so that's why it's called the greatest sin against God, because it works against the what God is trying to create mm-hmm. in the human kingdom.
And we probably all fall into that trap of thinking in that way. We can see it in our language. We need to watch our language, because language expresses a state of consciousness. And the language is full of words like heathen, infidel, Gentile, foreigner, that all express the belief of our apartness, and at the same time of the other individual's apartness from us, his separateness from us. The very term heathen means one who is not of our belief system. Infidel means a non-believer. And if you've ever lived in a culture where you are the one referred to as the infidel, it's kind of shocking, because we come from a religion, many of us being raised Christian, who identifies them as the heathen, and true. They're looking at us and saying, no, you're the infidel.
How dare they?
Yeah, how dare they? It's ludicrous, and it's dangerous, because we can see now what's happening in the world as a result of this misguided belief that people who don't believe the same doctrine and read the same scripture as I do are outside the pale in terms of God's view. And this is really dangerous. So I think that's why the writings of Alice Bailey say separativeness is the one true sin.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, separativeness. And we have a special offer from Luz's Publishing, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And it's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. And a little bit more about Ponder on This. I started out reading this book, one of the early books that I read, and I liked it a lot because everything is summarized and abridged, and it enabled me to more or less make up a priority list of topics that I want to look at first, where to find them, what books deal with them, explore them. And then what I did is I made up that priority list, and I went back to the 24 volumes, and I selected the appropriate book that I was interested in. And it really helps a lot in the study of the works of Alice Bailey. So once again, if you'd like Ponder on This, it's available for $16. You need to send a check or a money order to Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you... I should write a little note just saying that you heard about the offer on the radio show, Inner Sight. And also, if you, if you'd like to donate, we certainly appreciate your donations, both large and small. They're certainly an expression to us of your support, so we really appreciate that. So send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 120005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, whether it's to order a general package of information, and within that general package of information, you'll find a lot of information about Lucis Trust and most frequently asked question, is it a religion, Lucis Trust? No, it's not. It's a spiritual philosophy organization. People from all religions, walks of life attend our meetings. If you'd like to get that general package of information, it's 1-866, give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and you can, well, I guess the primary reason people key into it is to look at the previously archived library of radio shows, but there's so much information on that website. I was thinking two thoughts, Sarandel. I was thinking that number one is the separateness that we all have, the individual, is it an illusion? And also I'm thinking, too, what would the Creator give us the separateness for if true reality is that we're all one?
Yes, the writings of Alice Bailey say that separativeness, the sense of being independent individuals, isolated from the rest of humanity, is indeed an illusion. The fascinating thing that I still haven't figured out, because this whole issue really intrigues me, we're given a physical body to incarnate in. The nature of that physical body is such that it contains us within literally a physical shell that is a kind of a barrier against all the other physical beings that the 6 billion of us on this planet inhabit. Why was that done? What is the divine plan that causes us to incarnate in these bodies separate from everybody else? I think maybe it has to do with... there was a statement by the wonderful physician and biochemist or whatever, Lewis Thomas, who wrote The Lives of a Cell.
Oh, wonderful book.
And
yeah.
the Medusa and the Snail. And I remember he said it seemed to him, as far as he could figure, that humanity constituted something like the brain of God. Well, a brain needs billions of cells, doesn't it, to function. And we could perhaps see the 6 billion of us on the planet as all the different cells that make up the brain of God. And through this one humanity as a whole, God is able to see into the world. He needs all of these different cells to complete the picture of the outer manifestation of his plan as it is presently working out. Each of us is just one little cell, and all of the varied cells are needed. The problem is that we, by mistake and by glamour and illusion and lack of understanding, imagine that we are separate and unique from all the other cells. We don't see the wholeness that Dale mentioned, the synthesis. The best image we probably are given of the truer picture is the hologram, which, as I understand it, contains the whole within every part of itself. And you can see the whole image within any fragment of that hologram. I wish we could see the whole of humanity within our own individual experience. And interestingly, this is something that's gained through illness and suffering. Anybody who has really suffered almost always ends up with a sense of, I'm not in this alone, and I am not the only one suffering. In fact, I'm part of a great human experience. It can be really heart-expanding to go through some of the most miserable experiences. Something is broken down that was separated. Some barricade or wall is broken down.
But isn't that perhaps the lesson that we have to learn? Because pain and suffering just kind of goes along with the job here on Earth.
But wouldn't it be nice if we could learn it without suffering? Because, well, I think God intends us to be joyful.
Yes, but I think it's unfortunately, well, it's a stage that we have to go through to learn To learn joy, to learn to love, to overcome all the pain and suffering and sacrifice. It's a matter of learning sacrifice, too.
What's so good about sacrifice?
Well, sacrifice is really making sacred. To make sacred, I think that's what the word really means. And to make sacred is what we are about here, to make the substance that we are born with more sacred, and to make this whole planet a more sacred place in which to live.
And I suppose we go about that act of sacrifice every moment of our lives. If we think about every thought we express, every action we take, every reaction we make as something that contributes to or harms the larger whole. You can't board a subway train without having some kind of impact on other people. If you take a seat from someone else, well, that had an impact on the person that thought he was going to get it. If you get into a discussion that doesn't go well with friends or coworkers, you're making an impact. We can all redeem and make sacred every moment of our lives. We can, I suppose, get a little obsessive about it, but it does take that close attention, don't you think?
Yes, it does. It takes, here again, the discriminating power of the mind to see the right and wrong of the issue. And
to be vigilant.
Vigilant, and there is a right to, what is it? More right than wrong, and more right. Lesser principles and greater principles.
So it's
a matter of fine-tuning your discriminating ability, but not to be trapped in that separative attitude that can develop from that, but to carry on and develop a sense of wholeness and love.
And I think that humanity is really making strides because at the same time that the forces that would separate and divide us from each other seem to be growing stronger, we have this counterforce of more and more groups that are forming that are truly working for the good of the whole, not only of the whole of humanity, but the whole of our planet. People who have given up criticism and divisiveness and condemnation, which was the old method of the 60s of rebellion, to work for love and understanding and unification. And those groups and individuals are so mobilized today that it's one can't say that there aren't opportunities to join with them. Each of us can. There's a lot that people who are on a spiritual quest can contribute. Each of us can make a difference, and the quality of our thought and our prayer and our meditation can make a powerful effect against the forces of separatism. Be sure of that. And there is, in fact, a mantra from the books of Alice Bailey that many people work with on a daily basis that seeks to sustain the underlying unity that's working out in the human experience today. It's called the mantra of unification. There's a variation on the opening line that appears in her books. She says, the sons of men are one. Sons meaning as in Christ, the Son of God, the consciousness aspect. But I've also seen it written as, the souls of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. Well, I don't think there's anyone who has listened to this who doesn't have some sense of the outer cleavages at work in the world today. We see those all too vividly in what's happening in the world, in the forces of terrorism and bigotry and prejudice and the remaining vestiges of the caste system that separates and ostracizes some parts of a number of societies. We see it in prejudice and arrogance and superiority, and its other side, inferiority. That, too, is a way of ranking oneself that denigrates someone at the expense of another. So working with this mantra can be a way to build an image or a vision of unity in one's own consciousness.
Yes, and unfortunately, the schisms that mean the most to us are like the schism in the church, in mm-hmm. between the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Catholic Church. There's a great schism. There's a schism that appears to be in Islam, mm-hmm. between the Sunnis and the Shiites, for example.
And in Judaism, between the ultra-Orthodox
right.
and the...
So it's that those belief systems that lie at the very core of our being, in our religious expression, is where the most and the deepest schisms often lie. And that's why it's so difficult to work them out. It's because they lie so deep in our consciousness.
And the writings of Alice Bailey said the religious war will be the worst. And I sometimes wonder if that's what we're entering into now. It's a war, for the most part, still on the mental plane. Some people are dying, yes, but it's not as if we've entered into the stage of the world war, but it's a brutal, bloody war for the minds of human beings, for the consciousness of humanity. And all of us have to be vigilant to not succumb to hatred and a desire to retaliate and to demonize people who we think view life differently. It's a time in history when every one of us makes a difference in the quality of our thought and our relationships. So I hope this mantra might inspire a few people to work with it.
If you'd like a copy of what Sarah just read, the Mantra of Unification, we'd be delighted to send it out to you. Once again, what you need to do is ask for the Mantra of Unification, and that's what Sarah read a little earlier in the show. If you'd like it, just give us a call and request it. Call us on a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.